So this is Rashid Buttar, part 5 from advancedmedicine.com.
This is video 5. Deceptive agenda in the COVID-19 conspiracy question mark series. Now, this video, part 5, has been the greatest challenge so far of all the videos, not because the information has been difficult, but because of the information amount, the actual content that I have had to go through has been tremendous. And I've had a lot of people help me sending video clips and finding internet articles. There have been Instagram posts and Facebook clips that have been sent to me, so I appreciate everybody having shared all this information. But the sheer volume of it was difficult to go through, and there's no way that I'm going to be able to get all of this in one video. So it'll probably end up being in a couple of different parts, but at least you'll be able to see with your own eyes the discrepancy between what the media is reporting and what you will see with your own eyes, the things that are on the street. And actually may make sense as to why we are being told to stay home. Now, again, I don't want to put thoughts in your head. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I just want you to be able to observe yourself and you come up with your own conclusion based upon the evidence that will be provided. Now, there are two things that I want to discuss briefly before I get into the meat and potatoes of part 5. The first one is regarding a recurrent question that keeps on coming up regarding the third video, the corrupted science video. And people are asking, why is it that if this is a synthetic manipulated chimeric version of a virus where they took the SHC-014 surface component of a coronavirus and then took the SARS backbone and then combined them together and infused orthologs from the HIV, etc., etc., and created this chimeric version and made it more virulent and made it more resistant to any type of vaccine or any other type of treatment, then if that's true, then why shouldn't we worry about it? Because you keep on saying, don't worry about it. Well, the reason is because man, as we know, is inherently imperfect. Everything that we touch, we ruin. We know that. So what's happened is basically we've created this virus, we have manipulated it and made it more resistant. But remember, coronavirus is pretty inert. It really doesn't do much. Okay, it's self-limiting. And so by even changing the configuration of this virus and creating a chimeric version of it, if it doesn't do its job in a very, very short period of time, it basically blows away by itself. The analogy would be that if the Corona COVID-19 was analogous to the sex act, it would be the worst case of premature ejaculation you've ever seen. Okay? It is unbelievable how fast it hits and it's gone because it just doesn't have the staying power. It's like a quick sprint type of thing. That's what it appears to be. Now, why do I say that? It's very, very simple. You look at some of these people that have actually been carried and they don't even know that they're carrying it. And I'm going to show you some stuff that's very disturbing here towards the end of this video anyway, where you start seeing really even the testing, how flawed the testing is. But the coronavirus itself, the COVID-19 itself, if it doesn't do its damage in the first few hours, it's not going to have anything left. As if it encounters an intact immune system, the immune system is going to render it completely harmless. And in the event the person's immunocompromised and has some type of a respiratory condition, then there is a potential for it to cause a problem. But again, it's a potential because it has a very short, limited ability to do anything. And if it does, in some people, when it causes a little bit of a fever and a cough, it goes away in relatively a few hours to 24 hours. It's gone. So again, you remember from one of the previous videos where I showed a video clip of an individual who had the SARS COVID-19 component, and she actually did yoga and Pilates while she was sick, and she was in her late 50s, early 60s. So I want you to remember that portion, that it has a very short effect, and if it doesn't do anything in that short period, it's not going to do anything. All right, so that's why I said that you don't have to worry about the COVID-19, you need to worry about something else, and that's what we're going to be talking about in this video. What are we supposed to be worrying about? Well, remember the difference between danger and fear. To be fearful of something doesn't make any sense because you're creating this in your own head. But danger is real. However, with misdirection, we are looking for danger on one side where the danger is really bearing down from another side. And that's what I'm trying to make sure that everybody sees. And there are other people that are seeing this as well, that are pointing it out. And I thank them for bringing information to the public. And it's important that everybody that understands this shares this, because the danger that we're dealing with is not what's in front of us. The danger that we're dealing with is actually a hidden agenda, and it's coming down the pipeline. It's coming down, and it's coming down fast. Now, the second component that I want to talk about is the toxicology component. So this video that we put out, the part two video, which was toxicology ignored, I was surprised to see that very few people, compared to the rest of the videos, very few people actually watched that. So we've got the first video that has been seen by over 420,000 people on Facebook, and there's a lot of people that have seen that video, but comparatively speaking, on the toxicology ignored part two video, very few people, maybe 40,000 people have seen that. And it's very important for you to understand the role of toxicology, not just in all pathology and specifically in COVID-19, but also what's coming down the pipeline. Again, the toxicology component is the most important thing I want you to remember. Toxicology, and then the fourth part that we put out, which was regarding the microwave energetics that are going to potentiate the effects of the COVID-19 and many other things. In fact, don't even worry about the COVID-19. You just need to look at what's happening with the energetic components and how it affects the body, and then you'll understand the implications on the COVID-19 itself. But the toxicology role is extremely important. Now, there's a Dr. Thomas Cohen who did a great video that explains this. So I'm going to play this video. It's only a 2-minute clip so that you understand how important the toxicological component is. And I would encourage you to go back and watch part two, Toxicology Ignored. In fact, even the title of the video was very appropriate because most people have ignored that video. So watch it, because it is very important.
Again, when you know Steiner, you have the answers to the test, but you have to then figure out the details. In 1918, after the biggest pandemic, the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, Steiner was asked, what was this all about? And he said, well, viruses are simply excretions of a toxic cell. Viruses are pieces of DNA or RNA with a few other proteins. They bud out from the cell. They happen when the cell is poisoned. They are not the cause of anything. And the first way I would encourage you to think about this is, if you were a famous dolphin doctor, right, and you had been studying dolphins in the Arctic Circle for hundreds of years, or at least a long time, and the dolphins were fine, and then they call you up, Fred, all the dolphins, or a lot of the dolphins, are dying in the Arctic Circle. Can you come and investigate? Right? And you have one question to ask. So, show of hands, how many of you would say, I want to investigate a dolphin to see the genetic makeup of that dolphin? Nobody, because that's stupid. How many of you would say, I want to see if this dolphin and that dolphin has a virus because it might be contagious and that's why all these dolphins are getting sick? That fellow. How many of you would say, excuse my French here, somebody put some shit in the water here? Like Exxon Valdez. Anybody? Everybody. Because that's what happened. And the cells get poisoned. They try to purify themselves by excreting debris, which we call viruses. If you go to the current theory of viruses called exosomes, and the latest head of the NIH giving a talk on the complexity of viruses, you will see this is perfectly in line with the current thinking on what a virus really is. I had a dramatic example of this when I was growing up. Out right outside our house, there was a wetlands, and it was full of frogs, and the frogs kept me up at night, so I taped the windows, and they were, in the spring, they made a big racket. And then over time, the frogs were all gone. How many thinks the frogs had a genetic disease? How many thinks the frogs had a virus? How many thinks somebody put DDT into the water? That's what happened. Diseases are poisoning. It's one of the reasons why vaccines, so let me skip that for a minute. So what happened in 1918? There was a huge, in every pandemic in the last 150 years, there was a quantum leap in the electrification of the earth. In 1918, late fall of 1917, there was the introduction of radio waves around the world. Whenever you expose any biological system to a new electromagnetic field, you poison it, you kill some, and the rest go into a kind of suspended animation so that, interestingly, they live a little bit longer and sicker.
So Dr. Thomas Cowan does a perfect job explaining why we need to look at the toxicological impact first and foremost. And in fact, as I mentioned in the previous videos, that when the CDC goes out to investigate a causation of death, especially when it's more than a few deaths, they're always sending out two teams, the toxicological team and the infectious disease team. We always talk about the infectious disease team, we never talk about the toxicological team in the movies and in mainstream media. Why? Because the toxicological team, if it finds something that was toxic, that caused the problem, then remember, somebody, some industry, some company, some individual is going to have to take responsibility. It's much easier to find the blame on a virus or a bacteria or some other type of pathogen, because by finding blame in a pathogen, nobody has to now be held responsible. No company, no business, no corporation, no individual. So remember that motive. Let's get into the part five deceptive agenda. Now, there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to see on here, and I'm going to just show you parts of this. The resources are all going to be evident, and I am going to try to get all the links together so that people that want to see these links, they'll have access to them. So this is something that came out regarding Italy's hardest hit city, and they want you to see how the COVID-19 is affecting the hospitals in that city. Now, it's very interesting. I want you to kind of pay attention to this. I've kind of advanced the video, but I'm just going to play it for a few seconds.
They need a very high FiO2 or oxygen. And so we have to reorganize our emergency room and our hospital in three levels of intensity, as you saw.
This is the main.
Now, notice where I just stopped this video, all right? This is at 2 minutes and 25 seconds. And remember, this is a video that's showing Italy's hardest hit city wants you to see how COVID-19 is affecting its hospitals. All right, this is March 22nd. Notice the blue, the green person, the ICU that's set up, which actually seems like a very anemic ICU to me. But again, hey, it's a hospital. Who knows? I want to now show you something a little bit different. This is a video clip on the coronavirus outbreak in New York. All right, so I'm going to play this.
So we want to show you why officials say the next few weeks are so important. It took 67 days for the worldwide number of reported cases to reach 100,000, but just 11 days to reach 200,000, and just 4 days to go to 300,000. That is why there is such high concern in hotspots all across the United States, including right here in New York City. And that's where we find our lead national correspondent, David Begno, who joins us from his New York City apartment. David, good morning. Is New York getting the help it needs from Washington?
Tony, they are, but the governor says it's not enough, and you're about to...
Now, I want you to hear this. Remember, he said this is in New York.
Sense his frustration. The governor's saying, look, federal government, you're sending me stuff, but what you're sending me isn't matching the urgency of the emergency. The governor is trying to convince the federal government we are the worst of where it is right now. Here in New York, cases are doubling every 3 days, and it's to the point now where the White House told people yesterday, if you left New York recently to go anywhere in the country, you should self-quarantine for 14 days immediately.
We remain deeply concerned about New York City and the New York metro area.
That is because more than half of the nation's new coronavirus cases are being found right here. Crowded subway cars may have accelerated the spread. New York's governor says FEMA gave the state 400 ventilators.
Look at that. Interesting, isn't it? Notice the emergency room that they're showing.
To that.
Look at that. It's the same exact footage that they showed from Italy, they're showing in New York. But hey, New York is having doubling every 3 days. That's what they're saying. Okay, same footage, Italy and New York. Okay, well, that could be a coincidence. Okay, maybe somebody made a mistake. All right, well, let's see. So let's talk about New York. All the stuff that's happening in New York.
Excuse me, officer. How can I get to Presbyterian Hospital?
Right.
Say it that way.
Right.
Have there been a lot of ambulances coming through with coronavirus victims?
This is in Presbyterian Hospital in New York.
So maybe we'll get a chance to speak to some hospital employees. This guy's got blue gloves on. I would normally think that means he works for the hospital, but not sure. He knows the cops, so he's probably here every day. Let's see if we can ask him. Excuse me. Hey, hello? Hi, can I talk to you a second? Do you work at the hospital?
No.
Oh, okay. You go to Pace? You go to Pace University?
No.
Okay. Look at that, somebody's got the Challenger with the Hemi. Nice. Single phone call there. Hopefully that didn't disrupt. Do you know where the hospital is? Oh, here it is. Right there. Thanks. Okay. So we're here at the hospital. Let's see what we got. People, remember, this looks exactly like where they pulled Dead Ep out. Doesn't it? So here we see people coughing. Did you guys just come out of the hospital?
Yes, I did.
Are you sick? Do you have coronavirus? Anybody in there? You guys see any coronavirus patients in there?
No.
So that woman was in the hospital. There's people who work for the hospital.
Hi, are you doing selfies out here? Are you with the media?
I just set my own YouTube channel. Do you work at the hospital?
No, I'm just inquiring what you're doing.
This is for my YouTube channel called Crowdsource the Truth. Have you been overrun with coronavirus patients?
Not as of yet.
Are you surprised by that?
No, we're doing well.
I mean, are you a hospital administrator?
I don't have any problem.
Okay. That's another thing I liked about President Trump's announcement is that we're doing a fantastic job, doing very well, very well. So let's see. Are you guys waiting here to visit coronavirus patients? Nobody wants to talk. So here's all the ambulances here. We've got some people standing around. See if we can find an ambulance driver. I don't know, that's a lot of ambulances parked here for there to be a citywide pandemic going on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 ambulances parked. I don't see any coronavirus victims in here. Hey, have you guys been dealing with a lot of coronavirus victims? Have you been dealing with a lot of coronavirus victims?
Yeah, I just came back to work, so I haven't.
What have you heard from the other ambulance people, EMTs?
I haven't spoken to anybody. I literally just started.
But wouldn't you know if it was overrun right now by a viral pandemic? You're working the EMT stuff.
I don't even know if I can answer that.
I mean, you personally have not seen, you walk in there, there's not a glut of people dying from coronavirus. I spoke to a guy 2 days ago who told me that he felt that black people are not susceptible to coronavirus. Do you think there's any truth to that? But could it be possible from a medical standpoint, things like sickle cell anemia really generally only affect black people, right? I have no idea. I appreciate you talking to me. Be safe. Have a good day.
You too, man.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. At what point does it become conclusive if EMTs and cops and hospital workers, I don't know. I mean, is it just tempting the temptation of stupid to go in there? I know somebody who's going to get a heart attack if I go in there. Ah, there's somebody from the news over there. Now, City Scan Corp. That's probably MRI imaging and stuff. I want to talk to more ambulance drivers. They're the ones who will know. Are you an EMT? Were there a lot of coronavirus victims in there? No. Any? That guy doesn't seem to want to talk. There's cops there. You guys doing all right? Coronavirus? Anybody sick with coronavirus that you're aware of?
Don't ask any questions, please.
Why not? This is the public. I'm standing on the sidewalk. How many coronavirus victims you got inside there? Why am I not allowed to stand here and talk to people? Am I not allowed to speak to people on the street?
Yeah, you can't. You can't be on hospital property, sir.
Okay. The sidewalk is hospital property, not city property.
Can't be on the sidewalk.
Okay. Have you seen any coronavirus victims in this hospital?
Not on the common.
Okay. All right. So, thrown out of the hospital because they don't want people to have clear information about this. They are not at liberty to say. I love it when people are more interested in throwing me out of a place than actually answering. Wouldn't it help allay the concerns of the public if there are no coronavirus victims to maybe start telling people, hey, out of an abundance of caution, we took this reaction and it was a response that maybe is an overreaction based on, you know, I don't know.
This is Todd Starnes, and this is here in my downtown Brooklyn neighborhood. You know, they've been telling us on the news, and the leaders have been telling us that the hospitals here in New York City have been turned into war zones. And I thought it would be good to get out today and to show you what's happening, at least in my neighborhood. Now, again, this is not to diminish the virus or the crisis at all. This is just simply to explain to you what we are actually seeing in reality compared to what we are seeing on the television and what the in charge are telling us. So look, this is outside of our hospital here in Brooklyn. This hospital serves thousands and thousands of people. Now, this is the line to get tested for the coronavirus right here. This is where the line starts. And folks, I'm here to tell you at this very moment, not a single person is in line waiting to get tested. This is the emergency room, and you would expect, if you believe the mainstream media, that this emergency room would be overflowing with people. And as you can tell, there are no people here. Now, again, this is not to say that this situation could change, but I'm telling you right now, this is what's really going on in New York City here in Brooklyn. So this is the hospital, so let's go around and let's see if there's anything happening at the front of the hospital. But folks, this is what really aggravates me. Yes, this virus is a serious issue, but the reality is I'm afraid that the mainstream media has been overblowing the coverage here. There's been a lot of fear-mongering going on, and that is unacceptable. So this is the front of the hospital, and as you can see, there are not thousands of people trying to get into the hospital as the mainstream media has been telling us. And it seems to be fairly quiet out here for the time being. So, folks, I just want you guys to get an idea. We're going to be going to another hospital in the neighborhood just momentarily, but I want to give you an idea of what's happening here at the Brooklyn Hospital Center here in New York City.
Now, let's come back to Italy for a few minutes, okay? Remember, they've been talking about all the stuff that's been happening in Italy. But in Italy, 99% of those who died from the virus had other illnesses. And this has already been out there. So let's see what they're saying in Italy.
This is Piazza Duomo, the very heart of Milan. Normally, in a business day like this, it's packed with people going to the stock exchange, which is a few hundred meters away from here, to the banks, to the corporate offices, all these located in this area. As you can see, it's almost completely empty as a consequence of the lockdown which Italy is facing. Yeah, Monte Napoleone is the most iconic street for the luxury shopping in Milan. Here, all the made in Italy goods are sold. As you can see, no shop is open today. And this shows the paralysis Italy is facing. A paralysis which is not just at customer level. So it's not just the shops are closed, but many companies are shutting down their factories at the moment because of the risk connected with the coronavirus and also because there's no demand. No one in Italy will lose its job because of the virus emergency.
Now, you've noticed that this is two different hospitals in New York. I haven't said much, and I'm not going to say much, but what's really going on in Italy? What's going on in other parts of the world, in Germany? So let's see. This is in a German hospital. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the subtitles to make sure everybody can understand what's being said, because obviously I don't understand German. But I'm going to just read the subtitles in case you guys can't see it.
Die Charité in Mitte hat
this is a cleric hospital in Virchow,
und gesagt, hier würden
claiming all
alle
corona cases of Berlin would be here.
Und das zwischen 8 und 16 Uhr.
That's just from
das
8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Die meiste Zeit über ist gar nichts los. Schauen wir mal hier an.
Most of the time there's nothing. There are two tents outside, nobody's in there. The emergency situation described by the media doesn't exist here.
Die Medien haben bereits am Wochenende über 1000 Corona-Infizierte für die Stadt Berlin gemeldet. Wir sind kurz nach 20 Uhr hierher gekommen und nichts los, niemand da. Virchow-Klinikum Berlin. Das Einzige, was hier noch zu sehen ist, ist das. Ja, bei den Stühlen soll man nicht zusammensitzen. Aber ansonsten ist hier nicht wirklich was festzustellen. Also ich habe einige Mitarbeiter hier im Vertrauen sprechen können. Die haben gesagt, also das, was in den Medien berichtet wird, das können sie nicht nachvollziehen. Nicht deckt mit dem, was hier tagtäglich passiert. Ich meine, ich kenne Krankenhäuser in Notsituationen, zum Beispiel in Libyen und Syrien, übervoll mit Verletzten des Krieges. Ja, oder in
I'm going to read what this German was saying. Okay, let me get it back. Charité Hospital sent us into Virchow Hospital.
I'm going to read the subtitles to make sure everybody can understand what's being said, because obviously I don't understand German, but I'm going to just read the subtitles in case you guys can't see it.
Charité Hospital sent us into Virchow Hospital, claiming all corona cases of Berlin would be there, just from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. So most of the time there is nothing. For corona cases, there's two tents outside. Emergency situation described in media doesn't exist in here. Media reported 1,000 cases for Berlin last weekend already. Shortly after 8 p.m., we could enter the hospital and nothing happens here. Berlin Virchow Hospital. Only sign of corona are warnings of not sitting together on the chairs. Apart from that, there is nothing to see. I could talk with some staff unofficially. They don't understand what is claimed by the media. They say it is not what's happening here. I know how hospitals do look in a situation. In Libya and Syria, I saw them filled with victims of the wars. Or in Venezuela, with people having signs of deficiency. But nothing of it in here. I asked why it doesn't look like a case of disaster. Staff is very critical towards media in here. They say all is exaggerated. So one of the staff told me unofficially that there is no last case of emergency for Berlin was the truck attack of 2016. That time clinic was closed for public. Clinic paid attention. My reason to go was checking the statements of critical medicals occurring numerously, mainly in the hospital. They say we are facing a political crisis, not a medical one. Professor Matteo Bassetti, Genoa. It's like a war, be wise. Nobody in Italy died because of Corona. It's an ugly influenza. Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg, W-O-D-A-R-G. You can check the total body count monitoring. People are dying less than during last year's. Excess mortality rate is lower this winter. Check the Euromomo statistics in internet. There is nothing new about a new coronavirus. So every year we do have a new coronavirus?
More information. Again, 99% of those who died from the virus had other illnesses, according to this article about Italy. And show you guys what's actually happening in Italy. This was an Instagram message that was sent to me. Passato, here in Italy, we effed up a whole lot of bullshit that the government telling us, plus numbers lying, because in Italy, maybe just 80 people lost their lives for coronavirus. The other ones just died because they already have cardiovascular problems, diabetes, and other critical conditions. Come on, here in Italy, every year, 50,000 people die just for infections. Think about it. They claimed pandemic for what? 25,000 people? Since 1 January to now, we got 3 million deaths for communicable diseases. It's war. That was sent to me by one of my followers. All right, here's another one about Italy. I have tons of screenshots from Italian friends whose relatives died for heart attacks, strokes, and other health issues, but they were listed as coronavirus victims. Well, how is that possible? Is that really possible that that could happen? Well, let's see what else Italy's doing. I'm going to talk about what's happening here in the States in a second, but let's just talk about Italy for a second. This is what Italy is showing. This is what they're showing for the number of people that have died from coronavirus. Yet, these pics showing these coffins in Italy are not pictures of people dying from coronavirus. These are pictures of people that died, get this, these are migrants that died in a shipwreck, migrant shipwreck, in 2013, and they're promoting this as if people died during the last month from the coronavirus. These pics going around about coffins in Italy are actually pics of dead migrants from 2013. That's the level of our media corruption. So remember, New York is catastrophic. It's no different from New York. Urban centers, nationwide brace for catastrophic outbreaks. You saw the videos of two different hospitals in New York, and there's more. I just don't think that you need to keep on seeing more and more of the same stuff of streets that are totally empty and hospital rooms that are empty and emergency rooms that are not doing anything. I saw a video footage of a doctor that said, here's evidence that there's coronavirus breakout in the emergency room. And I worked in ERs from 1992 all the way up till 1999. I worked in emergency rooms for 7 years. I have over 12,000 hours of documented emergency medicine time. And I can tell you that my slowest shift was busier than the shift that this guy showed
in the emergency room. It was just like 6 days ago, people walking around, there were a couple of people sitting in chairs. There's virtually no footage of people dying all over the place. This is the age of social media now we're talking about, all right? There's nothing that can happen without somebody capturing it. Where are the videos and the pictures of thousands of people dying? I mean, you just saw in New York, they were having a hard time, two different people, two different hospitals, and there's more video footage of other hospitals. They couldn't find anybody with coronavirus. It was just like a search for Waldo, right? A search for a coronavirus victim. And this is what the media is saying. Look at this, people in hazmat suits. Epicenter, New York, thousands of deaths, 14.9% of cases worldwide represented now in the U.S. New York is the epicenter with 21,000 cases and 281 deaths. New York had surge in corona-related deaths in the past 24 hours. And yet, you don't see anybody with coronavirus. But no, growing chaos inside New York hospitals. This is what they're reporting, and you just saw it with your own eyes, what's really happening. It gets worse, it continues. Here's something that was interesting about this person. Now, Brooke Army Medical Center, I may have mentioned this earlier, that's where I did my general surgery residency, where I started my residency at, and the first COVID-19 related death reported in San Antonio. Now, this is the family of the supposed person who died in San Antonio at Brooke Army Medical Center. I must say I'm highly disappointed at your lack of facts. My grandmother did not pass away at BAMC. She passed away at a local inpatient hospital facility. She did not pass away from COVID-19. She passed away from Alzheimer's, and she had suffered for this for 12 years and had a case of aspiration pneumonia that worsened her ailing state. Shame on you, KSAT. Well, KSAT then reached out to them, trying to get them to calm down, quiet, don't say anything. She said, we talked to the Metropolitan Health District medical examiner, the city official, and it was confirmed the story is about our grandmother. So KSAT has all the facts wrong. They hit us up to apologize. We aren't lying, and all this is totally ridiculous. Here's a New York 20-year Army nurse at a hospital for 4 years, had 3 deaths the week due to bronchitis and pneumonia, next morning came in and saw death certificates changed to corona. How accurate are the numbers? Is this messed up? My best friend's stepdad died in a ventilator in a hospital in Scottsdale on Friday, and they put coronavirus as cause of death for the death certificate because he had viral pneumonia. The tricky part is the COVID-19 test is still pending, and they will finally get the results today. So they're putting people down as coronavirus deaths, even though they didn't confirm it or they don't know. Now, people die on ventilators every single day all over the world, but to not blame it on coronavirus? Here's some more information from various chats. Anyone here work in hospitals and can say how their hospitals are? I asked my brother last night as he works in the ER, and he said the hospital isn't packed, only a few patients with the virus, but nothing out of the norm. I went to my ER yesterday and was the only person in the waiting room. I talked to an ex and they were at less than half capacity. Same from another friend, and we are in Florida, old people, capital of the US, but nobody in the emergency room. 2 people in my family, one works at University of California, San Diego Medical Center in San Diego. One is a paramedic in San Diego. The news is lying, flat out lying. They both are bored to death. It's that slow right now. Everyone is finally on only going for emergencies. It's a lot of sensationalism, such a horrible reality. Obviously something else is going on. We shall see what comes next. These are just different people. I know 2 hospitals in San Diego that do not have a lot of patients. In fact, all-time lowest census. I'm in New York as well, on Long Island. We have 9 hospitals in my county, and this time of year they're normally full. Most grossly understaffed on a regular basis. Apparently New York, even though we have the most cases in the country, still haven't used any of the extra ventilators, being that they've been sitting in storage since the 24th. My husband's friend went to the ER in Vancouver, Washington a couple of days ago. He said it was empty. Detroit area and our hospitals are full from local resources, but they are already known for being usually busy. Nothing different, all right? Nothing different than typical. New Jersey, my hospital is mostly full of COVID-19 patients with positives and some other waiting for results. Some others intubated, and they are already pulling staff into the ER. So yes, my hospital is pretty busy, just not with the surgeries and the regular stuff. Interesting. I work in Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh, not overrun at all. The media is lying, playing their part in the show. Reality, the last frontier, same in our ER. Maryland, we have canceled all elective surgeries and appointments to help avoid the spread. We are still pretty low on numbers right now. My husband is an ER doc. The ER is dead. They have been laying off physicians and PAs the last few weeks at all the hospitals locally. But of course, no one talks about that on the news. People think I'm nuts when I tell them.
Oh, that's right.
Here's another one. I do not work at one. I haven't been at one. A friend of my husband had to take his kids to the ER. He told us that the hospital is like a ghost town, even the area set aside for COVID-19, empty. This one says, we have a pretty high rate of people with the viruses here in Massachusetts, and I keep seeing posts about the hospitals gearing up for the influx of patients, but as of now, we are empty with only a few patients. This is from all over the country, Detroit, San Diego, Washington State. Why? Well, that's why, because a national plan to vaccinate every American is coming down the pipeline. That's the motive. Let's go back here. Dr. Birx. Dr. Birx confirms WHO was way off in their 3.4% mortality rate, and it will likely drop under 1% as predicted. Dr. Deborah Birx, coronavirus data not matching extreme predictions. But our friend Fauci, he's definitely pushing the agenda and predicting hundreds of thousands of deaths. Dr. Birx said that 19 of all 50 states with confirmed cases have low levels of the outbreak. When people start talking about 20% of a population being infected, it's very scary, she said at the White House briefing, but we don't have data that matches that based on actual experience. Birx also pushed back against rumors of changes to do not resuscitate policies, such as falsehoods could scare the public. All right, they are making more and more people scared by this misinformation that they're putting out. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of things that are even more interesting. Everything you need to know about coronavirus testing. Before we get into the testing part, I want to again point out 99% of those who died from virus, supposedly in Italy, had other illnesses. So you can't believe what everybody's saying. Now, the problem with the coronavirus testing is this: are the tests flawed? Well, they might be flawed, but there was a very well-written paper, inaccurate virus models are panicking officials into ill-advised lockdowns, and these are based upon the wrong form of testing, all right? In fact, the Journal of Clinical Microbiology had a paper that was published, and it talks about the statistical support was obtained for an association between recent vaccination of cats implicating routine vaccination as a potential cause of false positive antibody test for coronavirus. All right? False positive coronavirus antibody titers in cats. Now, this might be a little bit hard to read, so I'm going to try to make this bigger so you guys can see it. This is talking about incidence rates from respiratory specimens that were collected from 115 participants aged 6 to 15 who received trivalent influenza vaccine or a placebo during 134 acute respiratory illness episode. What I want to draw your attention to is this. The trivalent vaccine recipients were four detections with both rhinovirus and Coxsackie echovirus, and one detection with both Coxsackie echovirus and coronavirus. Now here's what's interesting on the trivalent vaccine. They're talking about the various infections that people were noted to have, and I'm not going to go through this, but right here is the conclusion. This is a 2012 PubMed study, and it's talking about the trivalent flu shot, that it can cause a positive detection of the coronavirus. So the trivalent strains are in the quadrivalent flu shot, highly pushed for the 2019-2020 flu season. What does that mean? That means that if you've had this trivalent vaccine, you're going to show positive for coronavirus if you're tested, even though you didn't have the coronavirus, because the vaccine has a false positive on the current testing methodology used for the coronavirus. And despite all of this misinformation out there, Mr. Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, is talking about all these people that are going to die and causing all this hysteria. No wonder that Trump is getting more and more frustrated with him because the guy is putting out misinformation. Now, this is interesting, all right? This is a guidance for certifying COVID-19 deaths March 4th, 2020. It is important to emphasize that coronavirus disease for 2019 or COVID-19 should be reported on the death certificate for all decedents where the disease caused or is assumed to have caused or contributed to death. Now, here's what's really interesting. If the decedent had other chronic conditions such as COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or asthma that may have also contributed, these conditions can be reported in part two. Not the primary cause of death, the secondary cause of death. They don't want it to be listed as a primary cause of death. They want it to be listed in as a secondary cause of death. Pretty interesting, huh? Now, if a child gets a vaccine and dies, they don't want to put the vaccine as a primary cause of death. They want to put something else as a primary cause of death. The vaccine needs to go second. But here in this situation, it's flipped around. If they had COPD, they had some kind of respiratory issue, they had pneumonia or the pneumonitis or some type of a respiratory type exacerbation of some type of underlying condition, no, you got to put that down as the second cause. You're going to put down COVID-19 as a first cause. Interesting, isn't it? People, this is what the agenda is, the national plan to vaccinate every American. That's what they want to do, and that is where the danger is. This is a misinformation campaign. The only problem is that there are people in today's social media world that have footage, that can take footage, and that can record what's going on, and they're recording the truth. Here's another study that suggests a potential high rate of false positive for some COVID-19 testing. The point is, again, that this COVID-19 testing that they're looking for, they haven't substantiated the methodology. They are laboratories. I've talked to at least one laboratory myself that I've used for many years that said that they can do the testing, and it's a relatively easy test to do, but they've been told that they can't do the testing. They have been mandated to step back and not do any testing. Why? Well, it's a lot easier if you end up having one source of doing the testing that is not really looking for the actual individuals that have COVID-19, but rather to have a diffuse, non-specific methodology that you can now attribute many causes of death to COVID-19 and thus create a false sense of panic, hysteria, to then justify the ultimate goal, which is this, attributing more death to COVID-19 so that you can achieve the ultimate agenda, which is the national plan to vaccinate every American. It's not just every American, it's every person on the planet. Last thing that I want to cover in this video is regarding some patents. So let's play a video where there's a doctor that's talking about the patent issue.
Let's talk about what's really going on. Now that the coronavirus is actually affecting my family by shutting schools down and shutting down schools across the nation, something just since the beginning hasn't seemed right with this coronavirus. And now looking at the recommendations on how to kill it, it's a weak-ass virus. Like 80 degrees kills the virus. I'm like, I haven't really heard of a virus that weak. Just drinking hot water can kill it. Drinking water without ice. Vitamin C can kill it, no problem. Just being in the sun can kill it. Laundry detergent kills it. The second it hits your stomach acid kills it. I'm like, wow, that is like the weakest virus that I've ever seen. And really the symptoms, it can only live on your hands 5 to 10 minutes. On metal it lasts longer, but it doesn't cause a sneeze, and the survival rate is great among people who are healthy. Only 15% of people have more symptoms. Only 5% of the people will need medical attention. Only 2% death rate in people with compromised immune system. And then I remember my wife telling me, there's actually a patent on the coronavirus. And I'm like, nah, I'm like, that figures, because the drug companies, you know, I wouldn't put it past them. But then I looked a little further, and there is a patent on it. It's patent US 200625 7852. a U.S. patent on the coronavirus, and it was applied for, and it's called severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus, and that was applied for in 2006 by a company called Chiron. And now I'm not like into conspiracy stuff, but you know, when it starts affecting my family, I want to know what the hell's going on. And so this company, Chiron, applied for it and was granted this patent on this virus, which was then bought by GlaxoSmithKline, one of the 10 largest pharmaceutical companies in the world who happens to specialize in vaccines. And so a vaccine usually takes 2 to 2.5 years to get approved because they have to do safety testing and stuff like that. So now I'm looking into, maybe there's a coronavirus vaccine. And sure as shit, there's a European patent on a coronavirus vaccine. European patent EP317-2319B1. That was applied for in 2014. And what do you know? It was just granted in November of 2019. What perfect timing. So now my mind's racing. It's like, what the hell is the whole plan here? And now that they're starting to shut schools down, you know, I may just be hypothesizing here, but I'm feeling like they're going to shut down all the schools, and this is a big pharmaceutical play to, all of a sudden they're going to say, here comes the savior with the vaccine, and they're going to swoop in, and then in order for your kids to be able to go back to school, they're going to have to get this coronavirus vaccine that they just all of a sudden came up with 6 years ago. So just some food for thought. Do your own research. I wouldn't fall into the hype. You know, people with good immune systems, they got nothing to really worry about. So that doesn't mean to be stupid.
Now, before we go into the patent issue, I just want to talk about a couple of other things and show you just a little bit of footage.
It's always good to see you. I want to ask you about the latest development. The CDC now urging, quote, residents of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut to refrain from non-essential domestic travel for 14 days.
CNN.
This came after President Trump considered an enforceable quarantine, as he put it, for those states.
The original proposal was to consider seriously an enforceable quarantine. After discussions with the president, we made it clear, and he agreed, that it would be much better to do what's called a strong advisory. And the reason for that is that you don't want to get to the point where you're being enforcing things that would create a big of difficulty, morale and otherwise, when you could probably accomplish the same goal.
Hit 2,000, doubled in 2 days. Yeah, we can't find anybody with a case.
In New York City and the New York City area is about 56% of all of the new infections in the country are coming from that area. That's terrible suffering from the people of New York, which I feel myself personally as a New Yorker. So what was trying to be done is to get people, unless there's necessary travel, so all non-essential travel, to just hold off. Because what you don't want is people traveling from that area to other areas of the country and inadvertently and innocently infecting other individuals. We felt the better part of way to do this would be a advisory as opposed to a very strict quarantine. And the president agreed, and that's why he made that determination last night. And I believe he tweeted it out last night.
Now, doesn't that sound scary? That all these people are dying from coronavirus and to prevent it. And yet, you just saw the evidence with your own eyes that this is just not true. Now the final portion. I just want to play a couple of components here with our friend Bill Gates.
People who want sort of county by county or say, you know, well, let's get back online faster, say, well, look, in some states there's less than 200 cases. In many states there's less than 200 cases right now. You're saying even in those states,
CNN,
the same kind of shutdown needs to occur?
Well, let's say you have 100 cases and let's say you don't do a shutdown, then it grows 33% per day. So you take 100, you get 1,000, you get 10,000. It's exponential growth. If you're not stopping it, the sooner you engage in the shutdown, the easier it is to get to that peak. We have not peaked You know, the parts of the country that aren't shut down, in late April, we should start to see the numbers peak there. They'll still be too high to open up, so you'll probably have to go another month.
Bill Gates has warned about a deadly pandemic like coronavirus. Bill Gates has warned because Bill Gates, that's what his area of specialty was, right? Viral immunology, viral creation. He was a virologist, right? What is Bill Gates doing talking about pandemics like coronavirus?
To really get those numbers down. But any part of the country that has cases, and truthfully, because of our problems with testing, because we're not prioritizing testing the right way, that a lot of those places actually do have cases. But even if they have the 100, that will grow.
Did you notice what he said? They're not doing the testing right way because many of the people still have it and the testing isn't showing it. And yet we know it's the opposite. There's a lot of high false positives, which means people are getting diagnosed with coronavirus and they don't have coronavirus because they've had the trivalent flu shot and other types of vaccinations that alter the results. So he's, again, misstating, but you'll understand why in a second.
And people do cross county boundaries. And so basically the whole country needs to do what was done in the part of China where they had these infections.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out again that states that had just a few cases last week have, you know, over 1,000 or sometimes 2,000 cases this week, to your point, Bill. The other thing I'm curious about, you know, we keep hearing that the virus is going to dictate the timeline. Dr. Fauci has said that. When you look at this virus, we've got 3.5 months worth of data now, 150 countries. If you apply all the analytics that Microsoft, all the analytics that we can possibly apply to this, is how this is going to sort of progress and end knowable? I mean, can you give a clear answer, depending on what sort of mitigation measures we have in place?
It's very likely that rich countries who uniformly throughout their country do a serious shutdown.
Notice this, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
They will be able to avoid a high percentage of their population getting infected. That's what the exemplars, like some of the work in China and South Korea, are telling us. Now, as you get to poorer countries, the difficulty of doing the isolation, where you live close by in slums, where you have to go out every day to get your food, it is going to be much, much tougher. And so, by summer, I think the rich countries that have been competently led on this will not have to go back into shutdown. And unless you're going to partition the country, the whole country has to be in this together. And we're not, I don't see us making people not cross county lines or something like that. So it really is how many cases are in the country, and have we adopted in terms of testing, testing prioritization, contact tracing, the right things. But the good news is we're seeing that countries that pay that price, which is a gigantic price, then the percentage of Chinese that are infected is like 0.01%. And so now, stores are open there and closed in the rest of the world. I'm not sure you'd call it good news, but I totally agree with what Dr. Fauci said. He's been a very positive voice about the numbers driving this, and those numbers are very uncertain because of the still the disorganization of the testing capacity and where it's directed.
I want you to remember the role that Dr. Fauci played, as I had discussed it in part 3 of our video series, because Fauci was the director of the National Institute of Health Infectious Disease Division that allowed for the chimeric viral manipulation to take place in 2014, even though there was a governmental moratorium on doing any type of chimeric research. And he was also the person who pushed the agenda for medication that did not do any benefit and actually caused more harm in 1981, 3 years before the actual virus was even elucidated for HIV, and it was a drug that was to prophylactically prevent gay people from getting HIV, supposedly. So that was in 1981. He has been attributed to more problems on the planet from a health standpoint than anyone in the past. Go back and watch that video if you don't remember all that stuff or if you don't know what I'm talking about. That's very important because Fauci, and notice how Bill Gates talks about how important Fauci's words have been and how important Fauci's role has been, all right? It becomes
it strikes me that, I mean, you know the world of public health very well, and you know the world of the economy very well, financial world very well. They seem to be pitted against each other, and I don't really know much about the financial world at all, but I think there's this idea, Bill, that maybe you can be a little incremental here, right? Yes, we need to listen to the public health guidance and all that, but can we be a little incremental, start getting some things back to work, you know, so that we don't, you know, really devastate the economy that much? How do you respond to that?
Until we get the number of cases in the country down to small numbers where we can be doing testing and isolation against those small numbers, we need to make this our top priority. And it is super painful to drive this very high degree of social isolation I call shutdown. The middle course really isn't there because it's hard to say, oh, go back to the theater for a week. You know, maybe or maybe not you'll be infected or infecting people. You know, until we get the certainty we've hit these low numbers, you know, I doubt even if you told people that they should be buying new houses and cars hanging out in restaurants, I doubt they're going to want to do that. You know, people want to protect older people, they want to protect their parents, and you know, so the sooner we take this medicine, which is tough medicine, the sooner we'll be out of it and not have to go back into it again.
For people who are believing or imagining that, you know, in middle of April or early April, people are able to gather together in churches for Easter celebrations, or you know, go back to work in a regular way, it's sounding like you're saying that's not, you don't believe that's realistic.
No, it's not realistic. The numbers are still going up. That only happens after the numbers have peaked and are going down a lot and getting down to an absolute level. You know, there are some good things happening. The work on a vaccine, although that probably will take 18 months, that's going full speed ahead. Our foundation is funding that. We're looking at getting vaccines to everyone in the world. So in the long run, that is the key thing.
All right, so there we have Bill Gates, expert virologist, talking about it's not realistic to go back and get the economy going and go back to work, because the numbers are still going up. And you saw the numbers going up, right? You saw the numbers in Germany going up, in Italy going up, in New York, in two different hospitals going up, and all over the other places that people are talking about, all the different hospitals from Detroit to Alabama to Georgia to San Diego, all these different hospitals, things are going up, right? No, they're not going up. So why would Bill Gates be saying this? What's his reason for saying this? Well, that takes us back to something interesting, to the patents. This happens to be one of the components that Dr. Tempany sent to me. And I just want you to look at this. This is all the papers on coronavirus that have been published since 1968. Now, it's going to take you can see each one of these coronavirus. Every one of these papers is about coronavirus. It's just about coronavirus, papers on coronavirus, all right? And so I'm just going to start scrolling down. You can see 1990, 83, 84, 1985. I'm just going to keep on going down. These are all the different papers. Now remember, when you get a patent, patents are only issued on something new, right? So you can see all these papers. I mean, just going down and down and down and down and down. I mean, we just got to 1999, 2000, now finally. I'm just going to start going faster so you can see coronavirus 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009. I mean, these are a lot of papers, okay? A lot of papers. I mean, I'm just still going. Okay, there we go. So these are all the different papers that have been done on coronavirus. So how is it possible that with all this research done, there could be actually a patent? And that's actually what the previous doctor had talked about, the coronavirus patents. Okay, so here's a patent for severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus, and this is a US patent that he talked about that was then ended up being sold to GlaxoSmithKline. But then there was also a European pattern. In European pattern, this is what I want you to see. This is very interesting. This pattern is owned by a company called the Peerbright Institute. This is the European Patent Office, as you can see right there. Let me make it even bigger so you guys can see it. European Patent Office. And this is a patent, EP3172319A1 on coronavirus. Remember, this is not on a vaccine, this is on a virus. This is a patent on a virus owned by Peerbright Institute, okay? And so let's go over here and let's look at the patent family. And the patent family, again, these are all on coronavirus. This is not on vaccinations. These are coronavirus. There are some on vaccinations, but again, coronavirus, 2016, 2020, you go all the way back, okay? Now, what's interesting is that this particular one here, this one, again, by the way, look at the application numbers. These are, if you look at who owns these, they're all, applicants are all this Peerbright Institute. I wonder who this Peerbright Institute is. Some of you could probably guess, but this is Peerbright. Now, 2019, this one, 11/20/2019 was granted, and many of these were granted, but these are all on coronavirus, not on a vaccine, although some of these were based upon vaccines later that were created afterwards, but this is actually patents on the coronavirus and Peerbright. So let's look up who Peerbright is, okay? So I've actually already done that. So let's go to the Peerbright and see. Ah, look at this, Peerbright Institute, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Interesting, huh? No wonder Bill is such an expert in virology, because he had the patents on the coronavirus. And of course, that's why he's saying that, look, numbers are still going up, despite what you see with your own eyes, despite what you see with your own senses, it doesn't matter what you see, because that's not true. Bill has his agenda. Let's see what he says at the end.
That means that by self-swabbing, we'll be able to get a lot more tests done and only be limited by the PCR back-end capacity. So there's, you know, there's good news coming.
PCR back-end capacity. We already know that PCRs are not capable of eliciting and actually being able to. That's already been shown and dismantled, that PCRs are not an effective way for testing this virus.
One of the therapeutics, although none of them are proven out, but there are quite a few. We have a thing the foundation created called the Therapeutics Accelerator to really look at thousands of compounds and make sure we focus the human trials on the ones that have the most promise. So, you know, innovation, which some of which we could have done in advance, but innovation really is happening. But, you know, when you look at those numbers, the U.S., you know, now with the most cases, you know, there is no state that has gotten to the point where their numbers are flat and are going down. And the testing capacity is means we're quite blind to a lot of these cases right now. So it can be done, but we're not, you know, the light is not at the end of the tunnel in terms of a mid-April reopening.
The light is not at the end of the tunnel as far as an April reopening. Well, of course it's not. That's one reason it makes it more convenient to keep us at home so that we can't see what the truth is, so that they can keep on giving misinformation, continue to distract us, continue to create this global microwave that they're creating with the 5G that's going to make the cells more permeable, alter the calcium channels by adjusting the voltage. These are voltage-gated calcium channels that get manipulated and become more permeable to allow more toxins and more substances such as enveloped viruses to travel through the cell membrane and then cause an influx of calcium, or what we call an influx of calcium intracellularly, because calcium is an extracellular ion. When calcium goes inside the cell, it becomes pathognomonic. Calcium intracellular increase in calcium is consistent with apoptosis. Apoptosis is programmed cell death, and programmed cell death is something that's normal in cells to basically allow the cell to commit suicide in order to protect the whole. But in cancer and other immune compromised situations, there's a suppression of apoptosis. And what causes a suppression of apoptosis? Efflux of calcium into the cells causes a suppression of apoptosis. So there you have it. this is one of those problems where we understand from a physiological standpoint what is happening with the virus. We understand what 5G does, but that's not enough. They have to basically make sure that we are not aware of where the dangers, they're creating the fear and the hype around coronavirus so that when they create the vaccine, which is the real danger, when they create the vaccine, we're gonna go rushing for it. And what better way to create more panic and more hysteria than to keep us at home so that we don't know what's going on? And that ends part five. Part six, we'll talk about solutions. And part seven will be a summary. We may have to go on and talk about a few other things, but that's what my plan is, that we'll have a total of seven videos and be done.